Roll call.
Charlene Mendoza.
Here.
Michael O'Connell.
Here.
Marianne Chupon.
Here.
Glenn Perkins. Glenn Perkins, I think your microphone is muted.
Can you hear me?
Now.
Yes. Hi.
I am here, sir.
Thank you. Kellyanne Kennedy?
Here.
Grady Scott?
Here.
And Jonathan Rothschild?
Here.
Item number two is introduction of members and staff. Before we do that, I know that a couple of you have submitted your oath of office, but since I don't have those, what I would like to do is administer the oath of office to all of you at the same time. And then if you will sign the oath that we sent you and go ahead and mail it back to my office, that would be great. So if you would like to do so, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Charlene Mendoza.
Jonathan Rothschild.
I, Michael O'Connell.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution and laws of the state of Arizona.
The Constitution and laws of the state of Arizona.
And the ordinances and resolutions.
And rules and regulations.
Of the city of Tucson, Arizona. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. And defend them against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that I will faithfully and impartially discharge. The duties of the office of member.
The duties of the office of a member.
Redistricting Advisory Committee.
Redistricting Advisory Committee.
Of the city of Tucson, Arizona. According to the best of my ability, so help me God, or so I do affirm.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
You affirm.
All right. Thank you very much for that. So my name is Roger Randolph. I am the Tucson City Clerk, and I will be acting as your chair for this evening's meeting up until item number five, where we will ask you to elect a chair for the committee. With me this evening here in, we're actually sitting in the mayor and council chambers, is Chief Deputy City Clerk Suzanne Message, Assistant City Clerk Yolanda Lozano, Assistant City Clerk Maria Talamante, and the City Records Manager Shauna Lee. And they will all be available to assist us, assist you through this process, and provide any information that you may request as a committee. I'd kind of like to just quickly go down the list of committee members, and if you'd like to maybe introduce yourself, and if you wanted to say anything about who you are or your background, or just say hi, whichever you'd prefer. Charlene Mendoza.
Hi, my name is Charlene Mendoza, and I am a native Tucsonan. I'm a teacher and perpetual student, I think. I'm excited to be here working with all of you and look forward to this process.
All right, thank you. Michael O'Connell.
Hey everybody, it's Michael, really excited to be here. Community organizer here in Tucson, and I'm just really excited to you know, be involved in this aspect and really help out where I can.
Thank you. Marianne Chubon.
Hi, my name is Marion Chubon. I'm a community organizer, agitator, as some like to call me. Hi, Mr. Randolph. It's nice to see you again. And I'm also allocating and support that I've already received. So thank you for including me.
Marion, you kind of froze on us, Marion.
Oh, bummer. Yeah, we've got three people using our Wi-Fi right now. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. Glenn Perkins?
Yeah, my name's Glenn Perkins. I'm the president co-chair of Hedrick Acres Neighborhood Association. I've lived here for 20 years, and that's about all I have to say right now. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Kellyanne Kennedy?
Hi, I'm Kelly. You can just call me Kelly. And I'm the National Organizing Director for Stand for Children, which is an education advocacy organization. And I've lived in Tucson about 23 years and have organized with a few of you on the phone. So it's nice to see you.
Thank you. Grady Scott?
Hi, my name is Grady Scott. I'm a pastor here in Tucson. I'm also the community liaison for the Ministers Alliance of Tucson. I'm a native of Maryland, and I've been here probably 40 years. Thanks. Good to work with you guys.
Thank you. Mayor Rothschild.
My name is Jonathan Rothschild. I'm the immediate past mayor of Tucson, serving from 2011 to 2019. I've returned to the private practice of law, and I'm working on selected political projects.
All right, thank you. I do have two other people that I'd like to introduce that are probably on the screen with you, Dennis McLaughlin and Jennifer Stash. They're both with the city attorney's office and will help guide us through this process as well. So if we have any legal issues that we need resolved, they are here to provide support to us as well. So we'll move on to item number three, which is the open meeting law highlights. This will be a really brief overview of some of the open meeting law provisions, since my office maintains this commission. We do most of the behind the scenes type work, so we won't bore you with all the details of that. Suzanne Message, the chief deputy city clerk, will kind of go over some of the highlights that will concern you as members. Suzanne?
Thank you. I'm just trying to share my screen with the right document. Apparently that's not working.
It's not loading, Suzanne.
There we are. So I will give you a brief overview of the open meeting law. It's a state law that's been in place for a very long time, and it has some meaning for us in that our office will be the administrator of the open meeting law for most of your meetings, meaning we will produce your agendas, minutes, and legal action reports. So just a quick overview, some of the important items or other documents that we use to help us guide us through the open meeting law are the Mayor and Council rules and regulations, which help structure all BCC meetings, the code of ethics as it applies to all city employees and all elected officials and BCC commissioners, and then other available material that we have on our BCC webpage. If you have time on your hands and you want to review the city clerk's webpage on the open meeting law, there's other material for you. But the thing that really applies to you and that I want you to keep in mind is that there are two core concepts to the open meeting law. The first one is that all meetings of a public body be conducted openly, meaning notices and agendas are posted in advance of the meeting and contain the information needed to notify the public of what's being discussed. And also that the open meeting law helps provide access to government and ensures that the people's business is conducted openly, even in virtual meeting times. The definition of a meeting is that it is a gathering in person or through technological devices of a quorum of a public body at which legal action is discussed, proposed, deliberated, or taken. And this definition didn't have a lot of meaning with technological devices up until the pandemic hit. And now, as you can see, we're doing lots of virtual meetings. So they mean a lot to us now, and we still are able to comply with the open meeting law while meeting virtually. All BCCs and their subcommittees are public bodies and must also comply with all elements of the open meeting law. One that is a little more challenging in these times is that the public must be permitted to attend and listen to the meeting. They must be allowed to record it if they want to, and call to the audience or call to the public, as somebody's used that term, is not required. But all legal action that you take must occur during your public meeting. Written minutes are required. Those are documents that we will produce for you. Public notice is required so that the, as I mentioned before, the agenda must contain enough information to inform the public reasonably about matters to be discussed. So you won't see any vague items on agendas like new business or old business, things like that. The first thing we did before we started this meeting was establish a quorum. At least four members of your group have to be present in order for a quorum to be established and the meeting to be held. As I mentioned, call to the audience isn't necessary, but it may be at future meetings for you. Executive sessions are those sessions that are closed to the public and are used for attorneys to give legal advice to your committee. I don't foresee that happening, but you never know. If that happens, we would guide you through that process as well. The legal action report has to be produced within 3 working days after your meeting, and it's something that we will produce and put on the city's website for you to review, along with the written minutes, which will be verbatim and will be submitted to you for your approval at a future meeting. So now meeting notices have to be conspicuously posted in a public place, which right now is on the city's website. The meeting notice must be posted at least 24 hours in advance. And as I keep mentioning, agendas have to have specific information. Some of these other elements are what happens if there is no quorum. Then we have to cancel the meeting and we have to notice the public if we can in advance. If a quorum won't be available for the meeting, then we have to post notice of that fact. But if we lose quorum during the meeting, meaning somebody has to step away for one reason or another to take a phone call or something, then the meeting has to be recessed until that member can come back, or it has to be ended for that session. As I mentioned, call to the audience is not required under the open meeting law. But if you do decide to have it, you can limit the amount of time speakers are given, and you can limit the amount of time for call to the audience. So it doesn't have to be 3 hours long. It can be 30 minutes long, which is normal for the mayor and council, although you may not have that many members of the public who wish to speak during call to the audience. An important element of it, though, is that it cannot be become a back and forth discussion between you members of the redistricting advisory committee and that member of the public. They can't, you can respond directly to criticism, but that's about it, or ask staff to bring something back for a later meeting where it can be discussed once it's been noticed. Just so we're clear on what legal action is, it's defined as a collective decision, commitment, or promise made by a public body pursuant to the Arizona Constitution, the Tucson Charter, the committee's bylaws if you have them, or the specified scope of the appointment or laws of the state of Arizona. So we do get occasions where somebody will just mention offhand that they'd like to see something on an agenda and it gets discussed without realizing that it's probably leading to future legal action. I won't go into what has to go into all of these documents because we'll produce those for you. But one element of the open meeting law, and Dennis, you're the expert, so you can chime in if anything, if I miss anything, but it is a violation of the open meeting law if one of you sends an email to a quorum of the whole membership that proposes legal action, even if you don't, the members don't all respond to the email or take the exchange any further. It can be, it's one of those gray areas where we would prefer that all emails or suggestions on legal action come through our office so that we can distribute them to you. And this is where those other terms you may have heard in the past, you can't daisy chain, meaning with phone calls or emails, Mayor Rothschild can't email or call Ms. Juban, who then calls Mr. Perkins, who then moves on to the next member. That becomes a daisy chain of legal action that is against the open meeting law, as is the spoken wheel, where you have one spokesperson who calls each member of the committee and proposes legal action, and then you make a plan behind the scenes outside of a public meeting for taking legal action. So along those lines, that's consensus building, and it is not permitted outside of a public meeting. And that's why we ask you to use caution with emails and telephone calls during the meeting, or excuse me, outside of a meeting. What we ask is that city clerk staff be the one to distribute email to the whole commission or the committee. You'll see an email at the end, or excuse me, a note at the end that says, please don't respond to this email, or please don't reply to all. Just reply to the sender, and that way we can just kind of keep those things outside of problems. So during the meeting, we ask that you stay on track and keep to the agenda item as it was posted so that you don't wander too far off topic. And as I mentioned, send communications through us and we'll disseminate them for you. There is some information in your packet, which you've been emailed, that at the very end has a memorandum from the city attorney's office about email communications, because it does become an issue sometimes with members trying to get your work done. And you do want to make sure members know about one issue or another. But we do ask that those go through our office. Let us respond or send things out for you. Just the warning that we always give, even though we don't expect this to happen, if an open meeting law violation is, or complaint is, filed, it will be filed with the state attorney general. They are complaint driven. They don't go out looking for violations, but it has happened before. And just the mean part of it, if you're found personally liable, the city attorney's office cannot defend you, and you could be fined up to $500 per violation and removed from the committee. And I'm going to leave it there. This is just a fast run through on the open meeting law, but if anybody has any questions, feel free to email or let us know.
Thank you, Suzanne. One other thing that I just wanted to add into the end of that is, because we're doing this through technology and we're doing this through Teams, there is a chat function in Teams. Please don't use the chat function. Anything that you put in the chat function becomes public record and is discoverable. So we'd prefer just that everything be done verbally during the meeting. Up your screen. Okay. So item four is an overview of the committee's responsibilities. I'm going to keep this fairly brief as well, but I just kind of want to give you a little bit of background about the committee and what your role is going to be. The Redistricting Advisory Committee was created by a public initiative and adopted by the voters in 1993. The responsibilities of the committee are to review the relevant U.S. Census data to determine advice and advise the mayor and council whether redistricting of the city wards and boundaries are necessary. If during your deliberations you do make a determination that it's necessary to do redistricting this year, you are required to hold at least one public hearing to gather citizen input, and then you're required to provide a written recommendation to the mayor and council. And here's going to be the tough part for this committee. This recommendation has to be done no later than October 1st of this year. I apologize for the short time frame on this. We had some difficulty getting members appointed to the committee, so we're working on a fairly short time frame. The committee will review the population of the city every 4 years during the second year and during the second year following the decennial census. So we'll do it this year, and 2 years from now, we will, after the census, we will have a redistricting advisory committee that will review the ward boundaries again. The last population review was completed in 2016, so that would have been 4 years ago. That committee made the recommendation not to make any changes to the boundaries. Pima County consolidated and renumbered the precincts in November of 2013. When they did so, it caused a number of splits between the wards. The current ward boundaries as defined today were adopted by the mayor and council in November of 2014. The redistricting advisory committee looked at those issues and took those into account to make sure that we were covering those splits and taking care of those issues. The redistricting plans that you make or have been made in the past have to be developed in accordance with the Tucson Charter. It requires that redistricting plans neither favor or disfavor any political party, any person, nor dilute the voting strength of any racial or ethnic minority group. Additionally, the ward boundaries have to be contiguous and compact, and to the extent possible, the wards shall be equal in population. And we do that through a concept called maximum population deviation, MPD. The MPD, the maximum population deviation, is calculated by dividing the total population of the city by the six wards. That gives us the ideal target population for each ward. The percentage of persons over or under the target population is the MPD for each ward. The overall MPD for the city is taken by dividing the total population of the, the overall MPD is calculated by the absolute values of the most represented ward and the least populated ward. The goal of the plan then is to create an MPD that is less than 10%. That's what the Supreme Court considers to be constitutionally viable. Currently, the city's MPD is at 1.98%. That's absolutely incredible. In 2016, during our last redistricting advisory committee, the MPD was 7.5%. So just simply by people moving in and out of the wards on their own, they've actually established a much better MPD than was accomplished during the last redistricting advisory committee. So your role in this committee will be to look at whether or not you think that the ward boundaries need to be changed to improve on that 1.98% MPD. But I will go back and caution you that when you make changes to the boundaries, you would be moving one precinct from one ward into a different ward. Precincts typically have anywhere from a couple hundred people to 5,000 residents within a precinct. So some of those changes, by taking one precinct from one ward and putting it into another ward, can actually do that one thing that the charter doesn't allow us to do, and that is to dilute the voting strength of a racial minority. So that's one thing that we want to keep in mind as you go through this. So that's the role that the commission is going to be taking on and looking at. And again, it's going to have to be a very quick process to go through this, but we're here to help and help you with however many meetings you feel that you need to make a viable decision. We didn't schedule a lot of time to talk about that on this agenda this evening, simply because we want you to take the information that we provided for you and kind of go through that and get a better grasp of what I'm talking about. The information that I just provided is in your packet of information. So if you have any questions about that, it's in that packet of information. So the next item on the agenda is item 5, election of officers. This would be an election of a chair and a vice chair. And I will open up to the membership to for nominations for the election of the chair.
This is Grady Scott. Could I nominate Jonathan Rothschild for the chair?
All right. This is Glenn Perkins. I would second that.
Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, all those in favor of...
Sorry, I was trying to get my mic unmuted. I'd like to nominate Mendoza.
I'll second the nomination.
Any other nominations? Hearing none, we will do a roll call vote. If you'll either vote for Darlene Mendoza or Jonathan Rothschild. We'll start with Michael O'Connor.
I vote for Charlene Mendoza.
Marion Chubon.
Charlene Mendoza.
Glenn Perkins.
Jonathan Rothschild.
Kelly.
Jonathan Rothschild.
Dr. Scott.
Jonathan Rothschild.
Mayor Rothschild.
You're muted.
You're muted, Mayor.
There you I got it. Okay. Yeah, I'll vote for me. What the heck?
And Charlene.
I too will vote for myself.
So 4-3. Mayor Rothschild, you will be the chair of the committee. If you would like to take over and at this point and select your nominations for vice chair.
Oh, okay. Well, let's take nominations for vice chair.
I'd like to nominate Charlie Mendoza.
I'd second that.
Okay. Any other nominations? Hearing none. Do we need to roll call this, Roger?
You can do it by voice vote.
Okay, let's do it by voice vote. All in favor of Charlene Mendoza as the vice chair, say aye.
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 Okay. Any other officers, Roger?
That's all, Your Honor.
Great. Discussion of redistricting timelines. You told us October 1st. Who wants to tell us more?
So, Your Honor, I think that we can probably consider items 6 and 7 together.
Okay.
Talking about redistricting timelines, really, you'd really only have two timelines that we need to keep in mind: that October 1st deadline to submit a written recommendation to Mayor and Council. And then if you decide that you want to make changes to the ward boundaries, we would need to hold that public hearing prior to that, so that would be sometime the last week, probably the last week of September.
Okay.
So there would be probably 2 weeks to make your decision whether or not you wanted to make recommended changes, and then us be able to advertise for a public hearing.
Okay, so if we decide that we want to make changes, how much time do we have to do the public, how much time do we have to notice the public hearing?
We can get a notice out pretty quick. What we would do is we probably wouldn't go through our normal channels. We'd actually use our PIOs to get it out to the news media and do a direct link onto the city's main page as well.
Okay, so it's September the 3rd. It probably takes us a week to read all this stuff. I mean, you've got the experience. When should we come back? It sounds like the only thing we have to discuss is whether we want to make changes or not make changes. If we don't want to make changes, simple enough, we give that recommendation. If we want to make changes, we hold a public hearing. Is a week enough for everybody to read this and kind of have a knowledge of where they think they want to head with this?
It is. This is Charlene Mendoza. I'm not strongly tied to this, but just looking at the calendar, if there is a possibility that we decide to recommend changes, I'd like to suggest that we consider moving our meeting to Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, so that we have all 4 weeks as possibilities before the October 1st deadline.
It's fine with me. Okay.
It's actually better for me.
I just think the first question is, and Roger, you might know from past experience, or Dennis, how much time do you think we need to digest this so we can come back and have a meaningful conversation about whether there should be changes or not?
I think if you took a week, I think that would be probably adequate. As you go through this, a lot of this is just historical information that gives you an idea of where we came up with the numbers, and then some spreadsheets that we presented. During this week that you're reviewing this, if you have any questions about it, you can definitely send those questions to me and my staff, and we will provide the question along with the associated answers to all of the committee members, so we can begin that conversation partially prior to the next meeting, just kind of providing some clarification of the information that's before you.
So I don't know if this gives us enough time, but based on Charlene's request to do a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, if we take all, you know, we're on Thursday, it's Labor Day. If we take all next week, we would be looking at September 14th, 15th. 15th is going to be hard for me. But September 14th or 16th, is that going to give us enough time? Do you think in one meeting we will be able to say, yeah, we want to leave it as it is, or we want to have a public hearing? Let's say we say we want to have a public hearing. Do we have enough time then to get that public hearing and then digest that before October 1st for a recommendation?
So if you held a meeting on the week of the 14th and a meeting the beginning of the following week and made a decision that you wanted to make recommendations, we could definitely advertise for that public hearing before the 30th of September.
All right. Well, is everybody good with September 14th, Monday afternoon at 5 o'clock?
What day of the week is the 14th?
It's a Monday.
It's a Monday. That's fine with me.
Okay.
That works for me as well.
Okay.
That works for me.
Great. Let's put that in.
That's fine.
What is this thing called? Redistricting.
So what was the date?
September 14th at 5 o'clock. So at that time, I guess the anticipation is we'll come back and we'll have a conversation as to whether we think it's good as it is, or whether we think we should have a public hearing to discuss potential changes. Okay, now let's just, you know, let's go to the one. If we think we need to do changes, then what you would say is you could notice that probably in a couple of days, so we could actually have a hearing early the next week if we needed to. because I think we'd want to give ourselves a few days before we write a report if there's going to be a report. Okay, so
and just for information, the previous committee in 2016 held multiple meetings during a week because they were also under a time crunch. So in order to make their decision to move forward, they held more than one meeting a week. I mean, that's always a possibility if the commission needed to do that.
All right. Well, unless somebody thinks otherwise, I'm going to kind of go with the one step at a time philosophy. So, you know, we get back on the 14th and then we figure out what we need to do. If that's okay with everybody. The option is to try to reserve another day now.
This is Charlene. I can go either way with that. I am wondering, and I am asking for a recommendation perhaps for Mr. Randolph or other more experienced folks. Do we think an hour meeting is sufficient or should we block 90 minutes? So I don't have a lot of experience in that, so I want to think about it.
So I would say probably for the meeting of the 14th, you might want to block a little more time. That will probably give you, that meeting will give you a really good idea of whether you want to move forward or not, I think, at that point in time. So the more time you have available to discuss it, to decide your game plan going forward would probably be better.
Okay, so no dinner until after 6:30 on that day. Huh? All right. Okay, so that takes care of discussion of restriction timelines, meeting schedule for future meetings. Before I go to future agenda items, and maybe you tell me if I'm, you know, this is not on the agenda, but I just looked at the, and you know, Roger, you said, oh, we got this great thing. We're down from 7% to 1.9%. It looks wonderful. But when I looked at just the initial sheet, it shows that our target populations for each district is 92,977. And our biggest disparity, they're pretty close, but our biggest disparity is between Ward 5, which is now 4,500 over, and Ward 6, which is now 5,600 under. Does that make a difference? I mean, we're clearly probably within what the law allows, but, and that's something I just think for people to think about. What's sort of been the thought pattern in the past? I know that if we decide we want to make a move, we got to do a lot more drilling down into how big precincts are and the like. But what's been the thought pattern on the past on that?
So the 2016 Redistricting Advisory Committee, that largest deviation, that was the 7.5% between two wards. Here you have 1.98% between two wards, which is a very good deviation in population, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't want to look at that and determine if that's the way that you want to keep it. Ward 6 has dropped in population since the last go around by almost 3,000 residents, so that's the reason for that deviation there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not real good with standard deviations, but when I look at it, if there's 90 some thousand people in a district and one has 10,000 less, that's like a 10% deviation from those two districts. I mean, you know, doing political math, not, you know, right, like root math.
Right.
Anyway, I just think that's something for us to think about as we look through these materials. Again, I've got no it's about as much as I know. I look at the first page. Okay, does anybody else have anything for any future agendas at this time? Okay, if not, I guess we'll take a motion to adjourn. Come on, somebody, we'll sit here all night.
I'll move to adjourn.
All right.
Second.
Get a second?
Second.
We got to practice this. Okay, all those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
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 Like a chorus. All right. Okay, so we will see everybody on September 14th at 5. Isn't that what we said?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Should be fun.
Thank you.
All right. See you guys all then.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Roger, oh,